So I guess about, well, it was almost a year ago, I received an interesting email with some photographs that seemed to show some large bones. And these came from a colleague at the University of Leicester. And they'd sent this email to me and also to Dean Lomax, who's a colleague based at the University of Manchester. And Dean's a specialist in ichthyosaurs, which are these fish-shaped marine reptiles which lived in the Jurassic period. Because I used to work at the museum in Leicester for well, over 20 years, I've been researching the marine reptiles of Leicestershire and Rutland for all that time. So we looked at these photos and thought, well, these look a bit like bones of a large ichthyosaur. And then later that same day, I got another email from colleagues, effectively ex-museum colleagues and colleagues from the county councils, saying this stuff's been found at Rutland Water. So I suppose that was the last piece in the jigsaw that we knew it was something at Rutland Water. So I made arrangements to go and meet up at Rutland Water with Joe Davis, who had found the initial exposure of these bones, and Joe manages the Rutland Water Nature Reserve. So I met there with Joe and also Robert Clayton, who runs the museum service and the heritage services in Rutland. And we went out and had a look, and yeah, these were definitely bones of a very large ichthyosaur. Just at that time, we didn't quite realise how big and how complete it was going to turn out to be.
What was your initial thoughts and feelings when you saw it?
Well, I'd say when I first saw it, it was basically these things are sticking out of very sloppy mud. It was, very cold. It was back in, I think it's the dry at the end of January last year, I think it was, when I first went out. So it was cold, it was wet.
Yes.
And again, we couldn't see an awful lot, but there were, I'm trying to think now, there were probably about 30 or so of these large vertebrae you could see traces of in the mud. There were definite bones at one end which looked like they were probably parts of the skull. At that time, the last bones that we could see were ones that I could tell were from the sort of, I suppose, a sort of kind of area where the body of the ichthyosaur would become the tail, if you see what I mean,
Yes.
Around the sort of hip area. And then they sort of disappeared. And then just after that, both Joe and I found a couple of ichthyosaur tail vertebrae, but quite a way away from the rest of the exposure. And I thought, oh no, this means probably the end of it has been damaged and chopped off, effectively, perhaps when they dug out these lagoons several years previously. And at that point, I thought, we've lost the tail. And of course, we now know that those additional vertebrae we found actually from a different ichthyosaur completely,
Right.
because the one that we went on to excavate properly, we found it complete all the way down to the end of the tail. So at that point, I guess I thought we had an ichthyosaur that was maybe somewhere about 7 meters long. At that size, it probably was going to be this big one that we know of from the other sites in the UK called Pteranodontosaurus.
Yes.
But it wasn't certain. So, we just knew we had a big ichthyosaur, but also that we had only quite a limited window of opportunity to go back and do something about it, because the this lagoon in the nature reserve was due to be reflooded with water in the next couple of weeks, and it would be then inaccessible for several months after that. So we had to, get a move on and do something about it.
The excavation, that must have been a quite involved thing.
Yeah, so when we went back to Rutland Water in the summer, that's at the end of August and then September. And to begin with, we thought this would be a perfect time because it'll be warm. But actually, the weather was pretty foul, and we were wrapped up in cagoules with woolly hats on, things like that. But for that, we assembled a team of paleontologists with experience of this kind of thing. Some are all local and others, but we had a great team of people. I think Dean called a few favours in from people. One of our colleagues, Emma Nichols, who works at the Horniman Museum in London, she came up, and again, she's got experience of working on marine vertebrate material, and we had local people from the Peterborough Geological and Paleontological Group as well. Again, they have experience of digging up these kind of remains. So we had a really great team, and with Nigel's experience of excavating large skeletons like this, You know, the plan was to uncover it, which we did, you know, reasonably quickly, I suppose. But then we had to start cleaning as much as we could of the get the extra sort of clay off the top of the bones. And again, this is the clay from the Jurassic period. But then we had to then break it down into a number of sections, which we could then encase in these plaster jackets. So we had to put some consolidant on and then pack it out with sort of, special acid-free tissue paper and then tin foil, and then we put plaster over the top of that. And it's a bit like if you break your leg or something and you have a plaster cast on your leg or your arm. So it's strips of Hessian sort of soaked in plaster and wound around to make it a nice hard, robust protective case for those. So with the smaller bits from the tail, that was fine, but as we got towards the body, we realized that the head and the body would need to come out as single units. So yeah, the head, you know, it was it only just went in the back of the van, and it weighs about a ton, and the body was even larger. It was about a ton and a half, we think. So these are really, really large, and it's a huge job to get those safely out of the ground, but we did this in the end, thanks to the fantastic team we had.
And as things have progressed and kind of the fuller picture emerged, it must be, you know, fantastic to have been part of it, you know, since that first day, I suppose.
It was, yeah. And, you know, it was, it's obviously been difficult doing it at the moment because we've had to work within various, you know, COVID regulations and all that. But, yeah, I mean, we then made arrangements to go back and do an initial investigation with, we had four of us on site, just to obviously keep numbers down. And Dean and I brought in Nigel Larkin, who's you know, a great expert in conservation and preparation of fossils and other other natural history things. But I mean, he's really is excellent on doing these excavations and then working on the fossil material after that. So we, you know, we thought that Nigel was the person to get on board, and that's proved absolutely vital to getting this thing safely out of the ground. So it's, you know, it's been a fantastic thing to be involved with. And in a way, you know, we've made this big announcement last week. It featured on the you know, Digging for Britain television programme, but it's just the start of you know, the discovery of what we've actually got, because most of it is now covered up in protective plaster jackets, and the next stage of the project is to start actually taking the plaster off and cleaning up the bones that we have and revealing the skeleton in all its glory, hopefully.
It's kind of a story that's going to continue and probably just still almost at the start, although it's, you know, the major part of the discovery is now out there.
Well, that's right, yeah, the discovery is now public, so people know that, you know, this thing existed, and, yeah, we're confident it is at least 10 metres long, and, you know, it is actually not just the largest ichthyosaur, but it's the largest sort of complete skeleton of a fossil reptile actually from the UK. So, you know, you might have heard of, say, the Rutland dinosaur, which comes from nearby in Rutland. It's slightly younger, it's about 168 or so million years old, but whereas the ichthyosaur we're talking about is about 180. But the Rutland dinosaur, although the animal itself would have been bigger originally, the skeleton was only very fragmentary when it was discovered in the late 60s.
Yes.
And I, you know, I used to curate that when I was at the museum in Leicester, so it's something I've worked with over the years. So, you know, that's a large animal, but it's not a complete skeleton, where what we have here is a complete skeleton. Which, you know, is sort of, you know, unique within the United Kingdom.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. So you'll be involved, you know, with the project going forward too.
Yes. So we're now looking at the next stage. This is somewhat dependent on funding, but Rutland County Council and others are applying for funding to bring the program the projects further on. And we can look at the skeleton in more detail once the bones are cleared up. And at the moment, we're sort of looking I suppose, back at what we also found in the way of the other fossils that were at the location, and seeing what those can tell us about the age and perhaps the environment that the animal lived in. Of course, yeah, in the longer term, the ichthyosaur has to be available for the public to see on display somewhere close by to Rutland Water. So that's the ultimate goal of the project.
Yeah, no, sure. And just in terms of the significance, I suppose, not just for the UK but worldwide, it's pretty great.
It is. I mean, it's we've perhaps been making a big thing about the size of the thing, but also, it is complete. It's significant in that we have got the skull, the head, it's got teeth with it, it's connected to the rest of the skeleton, so the whole thing is together. And it's not unusual for some of these large animals, these large ichthyosaurs, where you'll only get only the head would have been discovered, or only the body, or just parts of the body. So to get the whole animal together means that we can perhaps join together some of the more sort of fragmentary or partial remains elsewhere, both in the UK but also other areas in Europe. It'll help us to pull together certainly the fauna we got in the sort of British paleontological record with what we find in Germany and France, which are the same age, but they're perhaps slightly different species in these two neighbouring sea basins, I suppose, is a way of thinking about it. So there's some similarities, there's some differences, and this is going to help us to work those out, and we'll get a better understanding of the diversity of the animals living in Rutland and the UK 180 million years ago.
Yeah, amazing. And fabulous that eventually, fingers crossed, it will be able to return, to the local area for people to see in person. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we need to be at the end of the project, you know.